continuing our proud tradition from last week.
Welcome back, everybody, to what is probably take 12 of what we like to call a case of the Mondays with technology. And how was your weekend, Paul?
It was all right. I mostly just worked all weekend. I saw you were out in the golf course, you bastard.
I was. And you know what? I enjoyed myself. I hit, we'll just say about 12 straight drives. I had two or three that were not so pretty, or as I like to call them, throttles. But you know, it was a good day.
Jeez. I've been throttled. You ever see the movie Kingpin where it's like you've been Munsoned?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. One of my favorite courses, actually. It's called DeVue here in Cincinnati, and it's actually quite literally carved into a hillside. So it's not a very long course, but it's incredibly hilly. There's a couple holes where there's at least 100 foot or 100 feet of elevation change. A couple other ones where there's just huge ravines or mountains. It's fun, and it rewards straight driving, but not long driving. So,
or drunk driving, for that matter.
Yeah, this would definitely not be a place. Actually, true story, my friend almost killed me there probably 2 years ago. For whatever reason, he drove up on a hillside in a golf cart. And if you know anything about driving, you will know that when you're going down a hill, locking up the brakes is not what you want to do in a grass in a golf cart. Oh, and yikes. So we went over the crest. He locked up the brakes because he's an idiot. And the golf cart started spinning, and he said, bail out. And he quite literally jumped out of the golf cart. But the problem was, the way the golf cart was spinning, I could not jump out. And I just kind of held on for dear life. Fortunately, it didn't tip over. But, yeah.
That is amazing. And you have terrible friends.
Well, here's the better part of this. He's actually a lawyer. And he told me last week when we were playing, he said, you know, if you would have died on that, I would have straight up lied and said that you were trying to drive down it so I didn't go to jail. And I'm like, yeah.
Sounds like a lawyer.
I appreciate that. But speaking of other screw-ups, Paul, I'm going to have a post up tomorrow on Therat, basically outlining all of my app productivity makeover and how I've changed up everything probably in the past 3 months or so, specifically with some big changes last week. And I have come to the conclusion that Microsoft has royally screwed up their Wunderlist acquisition.
Yep. Yikes. I mean, yeah. I guess in the scope of Microsoft acquisitions, this isn't as big as, say, Nokia. But what do you mean by that?
No,
how many Nokias?
Maybe not financially wise.
0.8 Nokia.
So for those who aren't familiar, Microsoft bought Wunderlist. Gosh, it's probably been 2 years now, maybe even longer at this point. And I don't even know how much it was for or whatever. But Wunderlist was a growing productivity app and task management. And they bought it. And everyone's like, yeah, Microsoft's going to do great stuff with Wunderlist. And here we are in September of 2017. And Microsoft has told us that they're going to kill Wunderlist. And then they said, you know what? Maybe we're going to just like keep it out there until we get our own product up and done. And so then they've kicked out the door a product called Microsoft To Do, which is being updated at an anemic rate. And so this past couple weeks, I've been looking for a productivity app. I've mentioned it here several times. I've been looking for a calendar app, a productivity app, a task app. And so I have found one, and I'll write it up tomorrow or have it out tomorrow. But during this, everyone's like saying, hey, why aren't you going to use Wunderlist? And it's like, well, why would I? Because I already know that product is a dead end, right? Microsoft is going to kill it here in the near future. And then they said, well, why don't you use Microsoft To Do? And if you want to call Microsoft To Do a good task app, you would also mutter the phrases iTunes is good software and Windows Mobile is still alive. Like, right. It's seriously bad. And so Microsoft, what they did was they took Wunderlist, which was great, had this huge following, said, okay, guys, we're going to kill this. Just stick with us. And here we are. And they've done absolutely nothing with it. And Microsoft To Do is honestly an embarrassment at this point, at where it is in its life cycle. So anyways.
That's sad. I mean, I don't really use Cortana that much, but, and God, I would really like this to get into this, but you can't even connect it to Cortana, can you? Like, it still uses Wunderlist, right?
It's supposed to be coming, right? And then this is, I think Microsoft To Do also is going to tie into Outlook Tasks. And it's like, this all sounds great, but the problem is that they're taking their sweet time doing this. Like, guys, you've had Wunderlist forever. The problem, and I think you might agree with this, is other than Windows 10 and some of their like foundational platforms with Server, which I totally get, everything else doesn't feel like it's truly on like rapid release. Like we get updates, but they're so minor. Like Microsoft To-Do is like, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. The Windows 10 Mail app, the reason why I ditched that, it was updating too slow. Yeah. I wasn't getting the features I needed. The reason I'm looking for a new calendar is the exact same reason. This To-Do stuff is updating at a very slow pace. Edge is kind of getting there, but now we have 17 rings of different insider programs. So depending on which hoops you've jumped through, depends on how quickly you're going to get updates and which insider. Now that I'm thinking about it, there are too many damn insider programs. But
yeah,
I don't
really
know.
Too many. Yeah, you're right. I would call it the lawn guy is just right. I would call it sporadic release.
Yeah.
Also, let me close the window so we don't have to listen to that. Please continue.
Yeah. But basically, my point is if you're going to buy these apps, Sunrise is another example. I know we've talked about that many times where they bought this great app and they shoved it into Outlook and now it's just kind of gone and all the good features that were in Sunrise don't really exist anymore. I don't know what Microsoft's strategy has been with these app acquisitions other than Acompli. Acompli was a good app acquisition. I think they did the exact right thing with Acompli. They took it, they deleted the name, and they renamed it Outlook, made it a nice blue theme, and gave it an icon, and that's what they needed to do. And so I don't know why they didn't just rename Wunderlist to do. So,
see, I go back and forth on that one because it is impressive to me that Microsoft has created something not just called Outlook, but that also acts like Outlook on mobile, that it provides all of those components. They have extensibility. Most recently through the inbox, which is actually really neat. And yet there's a kind of a mobile paradigm where each app kind of does one thing. And you could make the case that the way Microsoft did this on Windows Mobile originally, Windows Phone, might have been the best way, which is you have a mail app, you have a people app, you have a calendar app, and you have a to-do app, which could be Microsoft To-Do. It's a little screwy that Microsoft offers different ways to do the same thing, you know, and tasks or to-do is an interesting example of that, maybe the most recent example, because you know they call them different things, but Outlook.com, Office 365, Outlook in the web or whatever it's called, or Outlook on the web, Outlook 2016, et cetera, they all have their own version of this. And I don't know, maybe I feel like there should be one service that does this, and these things could all connect to that same service, and there can be a standalone app. It could be Microsoft To-Do, but yeah, they need to be kept in lockstep, and they clearly are not doing that.
Yep. And so it's really just another frustrating example of where Microsoft has the ability to execute extremely well on this stuff. They have the brains behind it, but when it comes to actual execution, they are falling short once again. So it's just frustrating.
It's like a theme.
Yeah. You know, which may or may not have been my fault, and I'm heavily leaning towards it probably was my fault why OneNote wasn't working this morning. OneNote is one of the good apps inside of Microsoft that it seems to be updated very frequently. They have quality apps on all the services, and it just works. I don't know why OneNote is so different than everything else where they have a great experience everywhere, but other apps inside the company can't do that. So
it's because Microsoft is a box of chocolates, Brad, and you never know what you're going to get. You know, like every team's a little different. And they all do. Well, you said, for example, like some parts of Microsoft seem to be on rapid release and some don't. And that's fair and true. There is no overreaching strategy. The kind of can't be. It's too complicated. But yes, you know, it's a strange state of affairs where certain applications or services or whatever seem to be at some advanced state and they're in great shape. And some of them are just kind of lousy. And it's just, you know, you could just kind of tick down the list. It's going to vary according to each one.
Yep. Moving on, Paul, you finally got your Google Wi-Fi review up. How's it working?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been using it full on for the past month. I actually installed it here about 2 months ago before we moved, but, for the past month, I've actually been here using it, and it has never gone down. It's never had a problem. It's never not worked properly. It was super easy to set up. The bandwidth is incredible. The ease of use is incredible, and, somebody asked me in the comment section, you know, if you and I could kind of compare notes or whatever, but I think it's hard as individuals to test like five or six different mesh wireless networks and then say, this one's the best one. I mean, I'm using what I use. I chose this by investigating what was out there and deciding on this. I kind of do have a Google thing going around at home these days. And I kind of like that kind of setup. I'm sure the thing you got works great. I'm sure it's Yep. Probably more of a power user, maybe pro type thing than what I got. Mine's more of a consumer focused kind of deal. But I mean, even for my own needs, and I would say for the needs of most just average people, like the price is great. The ease of use is incredible. If you've ever tried to configure a home network using either like the web interface from your cable modem or whatever, you'll sort of appreciate how nice this is because it's completely not like that. It's just super, super easy. Anyway, I felt like maybe I was a little overdue in writing about this because there's really not much to say. It's just great. It's just been great.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way when I reviewed the Amplify stuff. It just quite simply is nice, right? This is definitely one of those products that when you get it set up and you don't even have to think about it, that's how you know it's working right. Like you don't have to interact, you don't have to think about it. It just works. Benefit of the system that I set up is that I can now get my Wi-Fi in my neighbor's across the street driveway.
Right. That's what I was going to say. So my previous home was kind of a normally sized house. It was probably something like 1,600 square feet. And if you think about like a Wi-Fi access point at one corner of the house, you know, Wi-Fi worked, but the far part of the house, upstairs or downstairs from where that thing was, wasn't great, right? And so my wife's office, which was up in the far corner, we had wired Ethernet up in there, and likewise down in the cellar for my son. And so when we moved here, it's actually a much bigger house, which is, you know, awesome. I can't wait to heat it. But you also have, you know, you just, it's like a football field away. So, and then it's got, you know, the three floors. So, you know, including the basement, which my dad completely did over. So it's all finished and everything. So with the three access points, I was curious to see whether I would ever need to go to wired networking. Wired networking is a big part of what I was doing before. The truth is there's a couple things I need to have on wires. Just because I could get little adapters, I guess, you know, you can get those wireless adapters that make wired things wireless. But so I put a switch over by the modem. But other than that, the whole house is wireless. This PC that I use every day and the Xbox that's next to it and the other stuff I do here is all wireless. Right now, the stuff up by the TV is wireless, although I'm wondering with 4K, Apple TV 4K and the Chromecast Ultra, like when I had the podcast studio in the previous house, I was using a Chromecast Ultra there, and I actually did plug in the wire because it seemed like it provided better quality video that way for 4K. So we'll see. You know, once the Apple TV 4K comes in, I'm going to be testing that because the TV reports the resolution. I'm curious to see what the performance is over wireless. So we'll see. But so far, it's been rock solid.
Yeah, 4K will be a really good test because, well, obviously it's 4K, and so.
I might get 3K. Yep. I don't know. We'll see.
3K.
3.2K.
While Paul lives in fantasy land, quick heads up to anybody out there using an app called CC Cleaner. This has actually been a relatively popular application. It was discovered by the developer that their system had been compromised and that I think it was around like 2.27 million people had malware or something, a backdoor installed accidentally onto their system when they installed CC Cleaner. So if that name sounds familiar and you've used that tool, you might want to check your system and uninstall and be aware about what is going on there.
I got to look this one up because I have used CC Cleaner and there's a small chance I mention it in the book. I'm trying to remember why I might have done that. Probably as part of, you know, personalizing Windows 10 to look more like a previous version or something like that, but interesting. Okay, I will look at that.
Yep. Supposedly what happened, and I definitely recommend checking out all the details yourselves, is that a malicious group was able to hack into the CC Cleaner download server, and they were able to inject their own files into that stream or something into that application. And so when you installed it, it just put a nice little backdoor on your system. And so there you go.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. And Paul, I actually have not read this yet, but you wrote, "Too soon, Microsoft. Too soon."
Well, I joked with Scott Hanselman over the weekend or on Friday or whatever that, because he was complaining about how Apple was kind of doing stuff that Microsoft had already done. And I'm like, yeah, you guys always do stuff too soon, you know, ha, ha, ha. Then I thought about it, and it's like, actually, this is a long time problem with Microsoft. And it's interesting that this is, you know, history is kind of repeating itself. But I would say, with this Apple event, not just Microsoft, of course, you know, Apple is copying much of the industry, especially the Android phone part of the industry. But if you pay attention to what they announced, and if you're familiar with Microsoft's done over the years, see a lot of things that are very familiar in there. But I think the worst one by far was the facial recognition technology that Apple has for their iPhone X. It is a bizarre combination of Kinect. Literally, they bought the they used the technology from the same company that provided Microsoft with the Kinect and Windows Hello, of course, right? And so it has the same thing where it sprays your face with invisible dots, just like Kinect does. And I don't know if you ever saw the movie. It was one of the one of those horror movies. Oh shit! I just forgot the name. Paranormal Activity movies where they actually use an Xbox Kinect in the movie as a cool way to see the ghosts, because the ghost comes in the room and you can see the dots, you know, move with the ghost. That's exactly what the Apple demo was like, a horror movie, Brad, because Microsoft had this stuff first, and here's Apple. They're going to popularize it, and they're probably going to perfect it. I know perfect is a tough word, but they tend to get these things right when they finally do it. And so the problem I have with this, aside from the obvious, from the perspective of a Microsoft watcher or even a Microsoft fan, is that this has historically been Microsoft's role in the industry. In fact, I would argue in the enterprise, they still do this, where they take technology to the masses. If you think about things like AI, the Office Graph stuff they're doing, machine learning, whatever, that's their current push in the enterprise in the cloud, bringing that stuff to the masses. It's not the white lab-suited, you know, scientists that are using it anymore. But on the client side or in the consumer side, it's not Microsoft doing it anymore. It's Apple, it's Google, it's Amazon, right? And in this case, it's a really stark reminder that here's some stuff that Microsoft and other companies kind of implemented first, didn't do a great job necessarily, and then Apple kind of swoops in a few years later and they get it right and they look like heroes. And in some ways, you could argue they kind of are heroes for getting it right. You know, it's tough.
Well, there you go. I agree. I don't really have too much to add, but I mean, that's it. That's what Microsoft does. And so I actually, to pile on top of that, somebody was talking about wireless charging, and they said, great, now that Apple is using the standard, we're actually going to start seeing this show up everywhere. So,
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I only mentioned the big Microsoft stuff. Microsoft, of course, like other companies, have been using Qi wireless charging for a long, long time. Nokia before them on that case. And there was a bunch of other stuff. I mean, even you could even make the kid, like Scott Hanselman actually was making this case as a joke, but Microsoft even skipped from 8 to 10 in their versioning with Windows, and Apple's doing it with the iPhone. And it's like, seriously? I mean, it's so bizarre. I suppose it's possible they'll come out with something called the iPhone 9 next year, but unlikely, right? It's hard, you know, to watch this. And it's unfortunately for Microsoft guys, this is kind of like a slow moving train wreck. We just get to keep watching it over and over, and it's just going to keep happening. I mean, there's no reversing this. You know, it's just it's the lot that we are in, you know?
Yep. And then, so it is Mobile Monday here. And Paul, you've got a quick follow-up on your Android Switch.
Yeah, last week I announced I was switching to Android. And in the week since, I have not switched to Android. But the reason is kind of interesting, or maybe not super interesting, but it has nothing to do with Android. It actually has, the problem is Project Fi. So I had, when I signed up for Project Fi originally, I had to sign up with my Gmail address just a few years ago. And at the time, they didn't allow custom domains or G Suite accounts, as we now call them, to do that kind of thing. This is a problem in the Google ecosystem, by the way, where if you compare like a Gmail account, straight up Gmail, something at gmail.com with a something, you know, custom domain account on Google, you don't have the same capabilities all the time. And sometimes the Gmail type capabilities never arrive on G Suite or whatever. I also find the G Suite management stuff to be a little bit obtuse, but that's sort of beside the point. Anyway, back in June, they added this support. So I thought, well, here we go. I'm going to port over my number from AT&T. I'll do it on my primary paulthorat.com account. I'll get I'll just switch it over. And then I'll just close my old Project Fi account, and I'll have the new one on the right account. Great. Stupidly, when I ordered this thing, I didn't order a new SIM because I thought I could just use the SIM. I'm thinking all I have to do is sign in on the SIM, and I'm good to go. Yep. Couldn't figure out how to make that work, so I reset the phone. No problem. Brought it up, signed into my primary account. Nope, doesn't work. So I contacted Google support. I spent the better part of 3 hours the other day with them on the line. They enabled it for my the SIM for my G Suite account. I already enabled it, you know, in the admin console. It will not work. They did everything they could to make it work. So they told me on Friday afternoon that this was a priority for them and that they would fix it. And I haven't heard back from them. So it's kind of weird because the phone works fine, but it keeps coming up with this activation thing, like your phone has not been activated. Yeah. So what I want to do is get my AT&T number on this phone. It's my primary phone. So if you were to call my cell, you would call that AT&T number. Mm-hmm. I want it all on the one device. And as of today, I still have two phones, and I would have done this already, but I didn't. So still switching. Just hasn't happened yet.
Well, we wish you the best and hope for the worst.
I honestly, at this point, could I just put it back? Like, I could put that phone number on my Gmail account, right? Like, I don't even care about what account Project Fi is. I use both accounts. It's okay. You know, and they're like, yeah, so. Maybe by next Monday.
Well, I'll be curious to see what phone you bring to Ignite, which is in exactly 1 week.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly 1 week. And so as a gentle reminder, everybody, we will be there at Ignite doing this every single, well, not every single day. That's a bold lie. On Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m., go find us in the podcast booth. You can also find us in the Ignite little like catalog thing because we are fancy dancy this year. And so You got anything else for today, Paul?
Nope. I'm just going to sit here by the chat window and hope the Google guy comes back to fix my problem.
Well, that's called that productivity, works, right? Folks. So, well, that will be interesting. No, I have nothing. I'm just going to try to write some things, finish up a few things, get everything ready for next week. And then, I don't know, drink myself into a coma.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm going to write a series of feature focus articles for the new Android version and the new iOS version, too. So maybe I'll put one of those up today.
Yeah, that makes sense. Since we got the new stuff out. All right, everybody. Yep. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be right back here tomorrow on First Ring Daily.